Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
All right. So we have a special segment today. We are talking with Dr. Jacqueline Donnell. She is a cultural anthropologist with a focus on social inclusion, insecurity, and reconnection. So hi, Donnell. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tanya?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited to have you on. This is really exciting. We love talking about knowledge and information and facts on this show. So it's really a treat to have you on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So it's really interesting that you are an anthropologist, because we know that a lot of the big witches who we still cite and respect and give so much credit to started out as anthropologists. I believe Margaret Murray, I think Margot Adler was possibly an anthropologist as well.
Yeah, I'm not aware. So that's great. I can totally see all of the connections, obviously, in studying culture and connection to humans, to nature. I think there's a lot with anthropology dealing with magic and ritual, because we see across time and space, all groups of humans have different forms, although they're similar, surrounding magic and ritual. So it's something innate to the human condition that other species don't necessarily have.
Yeah, especially especially rituals in particularly. Humans are so fascinating that I feel like we'll turn anything into a ritual. I wonder if there's something like in our brains that make us seek that out. Maybe it's like a security thing or something that makes us crave like rituals.
Yeah. So I think a lot about kind of the science behind magic and ritual. So in anthropology, we use the definition of magic as this like supernatural acts to achieve specific aims, defining supernatural as like the force beyond science or nature. And then ritual as formal repetitive behaviors that are based on ceremonial order. So what's really interesting for me is after all my research, I've come to determine that magic is science, but science is also magic. The latter is easy to see in nature, like the science and magic. We can see like when we play sound, what water looks like, or we can see the similarities in the veins in our bodies compared with leaves, or our thumbprint and the trees, right? The tree rings. So the idea that magic is science is something that some people would perhaps shy away from, but kind of going along with what you were saying about ritual, there is something to that, right? There is something to kind of the way that magic prepares us in life and what that means to us. I don't know. I grew up in the New Orleans area, so I had a lot of spiritual practices that I saw as a kid. So we talk a lot about children learning culture as enculturation. So we talk about what we see between the ages of 0 and 5, and then moving on to 7 to 13 are really impactful years. And so, yeah, I mean, my dad would take me to Marie Laveau's grave, bought me tarot cards. I now work in Brazil, so I've visited different spiritual practices there, especially Afro-Brazilian, Afro-diasporic spaces, as well as indigenous practices. And so I've been able to see all of the different connectivities. And then I started researching, and I teach a course that's on cross-cultural mythology. So I focus on the hero's journey, archetypes, and how that's present in tarot and alchemy as well. The spaces that I work in Brazil, I work in the peripheral areas, predominantly in São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. And there are areas of high crime and violence. So there's a lot of trauma in these spaces. So I've been starting to research trauma, like researching humans, researching healing, and I've come across this, this field of quantum physics and entanglement and energy, and learning that energy is measurable and energy is everywhere. So, you know, although kinesthetically we think of tangible physical objects, there's also the energy that humans and spaces give off, which those of us who practice witchcraft often know kind of what it's like to take a walk in the woods after a crazy day in the city, right? We can feel the energy. And I think that's some of what a lot of us practice, is kind of like feeling that energy and feeling out spaces. And there's more and more studies being done that's actually scientific. So kind of studying how to heal trauma. There's various studies on meditation as well, and just kind of how these practices connect us even further. I would say that this, you know, the term witchcraft started to become derogatory during colonization. I teach a lot of Frantz Fanon and kind of how he talks about how the colonizers tried to separate the masses, so that the masses weren't able to join together and rise up against the colonizers, and kind of how they used Christianity and kind of religious doctrine as a tool to get people to obey and submit and control. And so anything outside of that is often deemed, you know, we all know all the derogatory terms that have been used, right? So Jeffrey Russell wrote The History of Witchcraft, and he talks about how the term pagan is just the first definition of it was, it means of the countryside. So it was basically just people that weren't in the cities. And so pagan kind of represented this large umbrella, right, of various things. But then, you know, we've learned that, you know, they colonized pagan holidays, right? We know the majority of holidays that exist today kind of backdate to Saturnalia and moving through the seasons, right? Different practices. And these were rituals, right? For people that were hunters and gatherers, and for who were really their survival depended on the ecosystem. So it was really important that they observed these holidays, right? When they knew that they were moving into the winter season, that food was going to be more scarce in colder regions, that was a day to ask, you know, that the gods or that nature or that the universe kind of takes care of them during these difficult times, right? And then when spring comes back around, we have, you know, fertility and the joys of things blooming again, that, you know, they made it through that tough season. So colonization separated us from nature, right? It separated us from also being self-sustainable. Most of us aren't growing our own food anymore. So we have that disconnect from nature now. And often, you know, my students at the university often don't even realize why we're celebrating certain holidays and what different parts of the year mean, because we aren't planting things anymore. So the system kind of does that on purpose so that we're dependent upon it, right? Because if we're dependent upon it, then most of us have to sell our labor to make money, and we have to be kind of, as Marx says, cogs in the machine, right, for the most part. And again that kind of makes the rich richer. So those of us that are outside of their control are often called witches, right? Or kind of other terms, right? So ritual connects us to spirit. Belief is what drives us, no matter what it's in. So I'm a firm supporter of any belief system, so long as it's working for you and not harming other people. We had some talk with some anthropologists a couple years ago about spirit possessions. And, you know, as I work in Brazil and things, and I have some colleagues that work in Africa, we talk about different ways that people become possessed spiritually. And said, well, you know, are people really possessed by spirit? And, you know, the response was, yeah, if you believe you're possessed, then you are, right? If you believe you're cursed, you are. And if you believe in miracles, then they exist. There's this saying that, you know, in witchcraft, they say, you know, they use their spells, right? And spells often come from the term spelling, right? Which is writing things out, which is spelling things out. And it's almost like the way that we're programming our brain, right? If our brain is a computer, what programs are you downloading, right? Are you downloading kind of negative programming or positive programming? In pop culture, you know, Ted Lasso is another that kind of brings up this belief system. For those of you who have seen the show, he has a sign that he puts in the men's locker room that says believe, and they all touch it kind of on their way out. And the idea is that just, yeah, to believe is what kind of invokes human spirit, human connection, and kind of across the board, all spiritual leaders throughout time and space taught love and connection. So we have more similarities than we do differences.
So I like that you touched on that you believe magic is science and science is magic, because I very much believe the same thing. And I think a lot of critics of witchcraft or any sort of paranormal anything, they'll usually firmly plant their feet into, well, it's not science, so therefore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I love that you say that, because, yeah, I believe the same thing. Also, I think it's so fascinating that you're in Brazil. A good friend of mine actually applied to get her master's degree in Brazil, focusing on how the Catholics affected Brazil as they were taking over, or like, you know, the Romans. So that I feel like you two would just get along. I should totally connect you guys. But something you also touched on, which I actually read a study about this, so I love that you talked about it, but the effect of like, what programming are you consuming? Because I saw a study not too long ago how they found that, yeah, the information you consume, positive or negative, has a direct impact on your mental state and can really affect how you interact with the world. And that's really, really interesting. And yeah, I just, this is such a cool, cool topic. I love the perspective that you're coming from, especially when you talk about, you know, how we're all very similar. And I think that when you become super educated in like spirituality and religion, that's like the first thing you notice is like, oh, we're all kind of thinking the same thing, or we all want the same thing. We're just approaching it differently. And I'm curious to know how your experiences and your education in anthropology, how that has affected your personal spirituality.
So last question first. So I would say that it's just grounded even more, right? Because I'm one that always wants to look for answers. I don't really have, you know, the whole, I never just believe things because other people say so, right? I'm always ask why and what. And so my studies have really helped me to understand and get to the bottom of a lot of practices and really grounded my spirituality and made it even more powerful, you know? When you were talking about kind of the intersection of the different mythologies and things, I teach Joseph Campbell, right? The power of myth. And so, you know, one of the things that he says is like that love your neighbors, basically, in all of the books, right? In all of the mythologies across time and space. And he says that most of us aren't need to go back and read the books, read our own mythologies, because that disconnection, as I mentioned, comes with colonization and then furthered with capitalism. It's not something that's natural with humans, right? It's something that was invented much later on. And yeah, you were saying kind of consummation. Your diet is not only what you eat, right? It's like, what are we watching on TV? How are we spending our free time, right? Are we leaning into like liberation? Are we leading into kind of being what I say a zombie robot, right? Where we're just kind of like zoned out, doom scrolling on social media because people are selling ads to us and making money off of us when we're in those spaces. I really started, like I said, paying attention to energies, paying attention to what people have been, what humans have been doing since we've been on the planet. You know, the current date for humans is we've been on the planet for 300,000 years, based on a skull they found in Morocco recently that predated the former date. So just thinking about how for, 290,000 years, we were migrating in tribes and hunter-gatherers and really connected with nature. And it was only until we started planting things about 11,000 years ago where kind of societies started becoming more sedentary and then populations started to grow. And that's where we see, kind of social stratification and sexism and racism and kind of all of these things pop up. And then, yeah, just thinking about how my academic expertise has allowed me to engage more with spiritual practices. The system, like I said, calls it witchcraft, right? Because I use nature in a lot of my work. There's studies now, and I think that that's what's so great is that like it's starting to, they're using the scientific method to do these studies. Meditation is one of the most profound practices because they've been able to measure your brain and see how it calms your nervous system and heals your immune system. So I think the current world system that we have now in terms of capitalism has our mind kind of ongoing. I've noticed more and more. I've been teaching, I think, for 12 years now at the university level, and I've noticed a stark change in the students. That they're not able to, their minds are ongoing, right? And it's that we're constantly feeling like we need to be producing something. If we pause for a second, then we feel guilty. If we rest, we feel guilty, right? If we're not doing kind of everything that other people are doing, not producing for profit, we don't really know how to shut it off. So that leads to addictions, to our phones, to shopping, to exercise, drugs and alcohol. I'm going to stop and let you edit this because I'm getting an Amazon delivery.
No problem. I have a dog too.
Dude,
he's a mess.
Like, okay. Apologies.
No, you're good.
So yeah, so as we're kind of producing for profit, we end up with addictions, which also folds into my research with working in underrepresented areas. And so we society accepts when we're addicted to our cell phones or when we're addicted to shopping or when we're addicted to exercise because we're folding into the system. Drugs and alcohol is more poorly looked upon, right? Because of the people that it usually attacks. But these are all because we've become disconnected from nature and we've become disconnected from like spiritual practices. Gabor Mate wrote The Myth of Normal and kind of talks about how today's society is just a toxic culture all around, and talks about how women, like Native women, they usually like would just hold their babies all the time, 24/7. And mothers aren't able to do so in culture more today. So kids are just kind of already growing up detached. They don't sleep in the same beds with their parents, right? So we've moved a lot away from some of these natural practices, and we've lost connection to community and ourselves. So rituals are usually create a positive shift. Rituals are usually done in communal spaces, reminding ourselves so we don't get lost in the system. Breathing practices are also something that are studied scientifically that have been done, you know, across time and space, but we've lost again that connection. So breathing slowly makes your body feel safe and in control. So that's something else, like, you know. And as I previously mentioned, like I know there's been a lot to go around in terms of witchcraft, and that there's a right way and that there's a wrong way. And I always say, just do what works for you, right? Because I think all of us, as we inhabit different bodies and different experiences, we're all gonna want to use nature in different ways. And so as long as you're do no harm, I think different practices are totally fine. But it's like this crystal that I wear, in terms of science versus magic, I don't believe that this rock has like magical powers, right? That it's gonna like, you know, beam me to somewhere magical, but it is something that it is magical because like nature created this, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. So that this goes back to the science is magic thing. But then also the magic is science, because this is a reminder for me. Like I said, it on its own doesn't have magical properties, but it does because it reminds me every day of my power. It reminds me every day that I have the power to shape my energy. I have the power to decide, right? I have the power to, you know, it gives me power on its own because it's a reminder, right? That I have the capacity, right? So I have the capacity to carry negativity around. I have capacity to carry positivity around. I have the capacity to shift my thoughts, shift my behavior, and make changes. I think that's the other thing about anthropology, is that humans are the most adaptable species on the planet. I mean, we can see that just by looking at the diversity that humans have. But yet we're the most afraid of change. And that comes from, you know, evolution and again, our brain structures, but just kind of being aware of that and being aware of the capacity that humans have, right? And remembering our connection, I think.
Speaking about like diversity, but how we all kind of have our own need for nature and spirituality, would you say from your position, do you think there's like one constant that you've seen amongst all cultures in regards to spirituality?
I think the constant is the word that I've used a couple of times is connection. So like we use different plants, right? So I participated in some candomblé practices in Brazil where they have banho de folha, which is the bath of leaves, is like what it translates to. There's different, like at the beginning, you know, when I was younger, I would always try to use the same herbs and the same things. And a lot of the things didn't translate. And of course, bay leaves are everywhere. Right. But there were herbs that I would like bring back from Brazil. Right. Because, you know, I couldn't find them here. And then there's things that like, you know, and so I got too caught up in the details. And so I think in that time, right, I think I was missing the overall purpose. And the longer that I've practiced and the longer that I've kind of learned. I've learned that to use things, it's even better to use things that are native to you, or that are in your area where you live, that are easy for you to access, that you're connected to, right? There's like certain flowers that just like bring me home, right? Like a gardenia or a magnolia or a camellia, right? And so, yeah, I think that the overarching theme is connection. And so I think whatever we can use that allows us to connect, and I would say, you know, to use the word that you prefer, if it's connect to spirit, connect to the universe, connect to energy. And for me, all of that is connecting to each other. I think that would be the constant, is this search for connection, because, you know, humans have, we have a longer gestation period than most other species, right? Like, I don't know if, you know, like dogs are born, they're, you know, and horses are born, they're kind of running that same day, right? Human babies depend on their parents for the first several years of their lives. And so humans are, as much as we want to say, you know, we're isolated now and, you know, that we can be self-sustainable. And I think that's the capitalism talking. I think that humans, and I think that's one thing that's happening with society, is that humans need to be connected to each other. And connected, like I said, to nature, because, I think that's something that we've separated from as well. We forget that we need nature. Like, trees are making the oxygen that we need to breathe, right? And we kind of start to move away from that. And there's so many things that nature provides for us, right? That we often forget about. So that's what, to use the word pagan rituals, right? These things that kind of connect us and bring us back to that appreciation of nature. You know, usually there's the seasonal rituals, there's the directional, right? There's the phases of the moon, right? Depending on, you know, what each individual practices, we can all see these things in nature. And they remind us to stop and pause, right? When the moon is full. I mean, we can, again, relating magic and science, I mean, the waves in the ocean are much higher. There's this city that I worked in Brazil 11 years ago called Paraty. And every full moon, the entire city, the streets would flood. They actually planned it that way, the Portuguese, so that it would clean the streets. But I mean, we can see what the moon does to our water. And so our bodies have such a high percentage of water as well, right? We're mostly water. And so to think about how the moon is changing, you know, our bodily structures and our bodily functions and the necessity for us to pause. I mean, especially women, right? People who have the menstrual cycle, right, can recognize that 28-day cycle. So it's really important to have that pause. But I think I see that connection to nature and to spirit would be the thing that I see most across time and space.
What is one way you feel like it's changed over time? I know you touched on capitalism and consumerism. So how, your point of view, knowing the history of spirituality and witchcraft, how are you seeing it change as we move into like modern time?
Yeah. I think about colonization too. I mean, colonization created capitalism, right? I think that's when we started hoarding our resources, that's when we started to feel the need to protect our resources. And then we felt the need to steal resources from others. And so I think as the population increased, that's when populations increased, right? That's when we started kind of shifting into that other space of kind of like always wanting more. And I feel like we've jumped on the hamster wheel, right? Of that always wanting more. And so your question was, what have I seen change the most?
Yeah, from like maybe a few hundred years ago to today.
So we have less leisure time now than ever before. So humans used to have more leisure time. And so I think that that's what changed, is that now we're just nonstop cogs in the machine. And it's like, we're, and I'm, when I say we, I mean like society. I don't mean, I know that I'm generalizing and that there's other individuals that might be like, I don't fit into that. And I think that's wonderful. But the majority of humans are kind of on this wheel, right? Of like, nothing's ever enough. Bigger house, bigger car, you know, more money, more travel, more. And we've gotten on this cycle of more, more, more. And we've forgotten that simplistic, you know, like less is more, kind of like moving back to that. And I think that's, you know, sorry, not sorry. A lot of that started with the church, right? I mean, we see, I don't know, the gold and the money and the slavery and kind of when we moved away from pagan practices, right? I mean, we, you know, a lot of the natural spiritual practices were kind of less is more, kind of very simplistic rituals that involved a lot of community. And I'm not saying that like, you know, church is awful and, you know, whatever. Like I said, I think everything is good as long as you're not harming other humans. But I would say that there are some leaders in those spaces, right, that shifted away from spirit and moved towards a material culture, right? And so I think that, you know, we waste more now than ever. We use more resources now than ever. I mean, plastic, you know, when I was at that indigenous, they call them aldeias in Brazil, for the Tupi Guarani and Parachi. One of the things that I noticed there was a huge stockpile of plastic there because the trash companies don't go there to collect waste. And they had always used like these things behind me, they're like gourds, right? So they always had like biodegradable gourds to drink out of, right? And like they used a lot of biodegradable, you know, products. And so when they were done, they would just kind of toss them into the forest. And now they started doing that with plastic and they have that, they don't realize that plastic doesn't go away, right? And so, yeah, I think that we've become such a large consumer society that we've lost this grasp on, I feel like most of us don't even have that awareness. There's this Brazilian, Paulo Freire, he writes, he uses this word in Portuguese called conscientização, which is an ization word. So it's like the process of becoming. And so it's like the process of becoming conscious. So he talks about how we need that consciousnessization, if you will, in our education system, because that's where the separation is that most of us aren't conscious beings. You know, our education system, again, is developed by the system to benefit the system. You know, we're not taught basic skills. We're not taught how to plant food. We're not taught how to make things. We're not taught how to filter water. And these are the things that humans need for survival, but yet we're taught how to become dependent on the system, right? So I think that conscious awareness, you know, being aware of, you know, how we're interacting with nature, being aware of how we interact with other humans, being aware of the energy that we're putting out there, you know, being aware of, you know, how much is enough for you. And I think that's one of the interesting things with witchcraft, right, is, you know, the ritual practices and what they bring, right? So like starting the day, like lighting a candle or some incense or, you know, whatever plant you may want to use and kind of like reminding yourself during that time of like the day that you're going to create, right? Or sometimes it's like, you know, a protection spell when you leave the house, or like having something, an amulet hanging above the door that you touch, be like, I, keep me safe while I'm gone, right? There's all these practices, right? I'm a student of alchemy as well. And so I think that, I feel like that's probably a whole nother scheduled talk in and of itself, but just to think about how people kind of disguised this like transformative human capability, right? Because society doesn't want us to realize our transformative powers. And what humans look like in a healed space, because we can't be controlled when we're in a healed space, right? Because we're there, right? And society wants more than anything else to be able to buy us and control us, right? And so yeah, it's really important for us to remember, you know, how powerful practices can be and how important they are, you know. So I think that's something else, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll move away from it for a minute and I'll really like feel it, right? I'm a man, like, you know, and I need to like tap back in. I read cards, you know, and so I read for myself every New Year's. It's a ritual. And this year it was like, you need to get back into like spiritual balance. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So kind of, yeah, just being aware of those things. And I can't mention tarot without going back and talking about Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey. I mean, they're just meant to keep us on our path and make us more reflective and more conscious, right? Going back to that consciousness. So if I would say the thing that changed would be this, our consciousness has been stolen from us and we need to get it back.
I would love to have you on again to talk about alchemy. I am so cute. I have so many questions about that. But yes, definitely another time, because oh my gosh. But my last question for you is a little bit of a fun one, or maybe not fun, more like fun nerdy. But like, what is your favorite lesser known story or fact about magic and ritual?
Like a mythology?
Sure. Just your favorite little fun little thing that like you wish more people knew about because you think it's so cool.
Oh my God, I have so many. I'm not gonna say a favorite because I feel like I need to think more about what my favorite is. But I'll say it's one that comes to mind and can be extremely useful to people in New Orleans as well. So in Candomblé, my Orisha, right? Or they say, I think in English people say Orisha, right? We say Orisha in Portuguese. So my Orisha is Iansan. And so her Yoruba name is Oya. And so I'd have to say her story is really important to me since I am, they say, filha de Ansan, or daughter of Oya. So she's, I guess, my primary deity in that lineage. And she's interesting because she is the only female warrior. She's accompanied by Xangô and Ogun, which there's different stories that she married both of them. So more power to her, right? So she's the only warrior female, and she inhabits the wind. So my Pai do Santo in Brazil, in Brazil they have their divination is called Jogo de Búzios, which búzios are cowrie shells. And so that instead of kind of, I think it would be comparable to tarot in a sense, although completely different, right? But yeah, so he threw the shells several times and he's like, I thought you were going to be filha de Iemanjá. Iemanjá is the goddess of the sea of the ocean. And he like just kept on and it was forever. And he's like, but you're from Iansan. He's like, I would have never thought that. And he said that He says some days you're like a calm spring breeze, and other days he said you're like Fura con Katrina, which is no joke for us in New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina, right? So I think Ian Sans' story is really marvelous. I mean, there's various mythologies for the Orishas, but I think it's important to call attention to her because we often don't hear about Afro-diasporic practices, mainly, like I said, because of colonization, right? A lot of those stories have been wiped out and we don't hear as much about them. So I think it's really important to give reverence to those stories but I'll think about that and I'll tell you, and I'll have to tell you what my absolute favorite story is, because I have so many. Like I said, I teach a class on mythology. So I try to touch every continent in that class every semester. So we read different stories from all over and I change them up every semester so that it stays fun for me.
Let me tell you, this was such a treat. I had such a wonderful time just listening to you share what you're so clearly passionate about. And I would take all your classes. This was wonderful. So that's all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else you want to share with us before we sign off?
Yeah, there's so much more. But I'll leave it at that for today, I think. And I, again, just want to say thanks so much for having me. I've listened to your show for years. And so it's an honor to be here with you today. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Yes, please feel free to come on whenever you're like, I just have a spare hour. Let me just hop on with Tanya. Because I definitely want to ask you about alchemy. I definitely want to know more about mythology. So yeah, we're definitely going to have you. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing. This was really cool, especially hearing from an anthropologist's perspective, someone who I always say is like looking up from the down perspective, you know, who has such a clear view of people and religion and spirituality. Being able to hear that take, I think, is just really valuable for everybody.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.